Move now to House Bill 1126, an act to limit the application of implied consent in circumstances involving an arrest for vehicle homicide or vehicle battery. Representative Dumold, welcome.
Welcome. Thank you, Senator and Chairman and members of the committee. Hopefully this shouldn't take too long. I've got some handouts. I'm sure you're aware of it, but I just want to hand out the different provisions of the law that it's referred to in the bill so that you can refer to them.
Representative Clark, Judy Clark.
And I don't want to bore you with the facts of and you all understand the law, but let me just reiterate just a little bit. Right now, at the present time, you give consent to withdrawal of your blood or body substance or chemical analysis of your breath when you're driving, when you get your driver's license. And they want to determine the amount of alcohol in your blood or whether or not you've got marijuana or any other controlled substance. And, of course, you can refuse that unless you've been arrested for the third or fourth time and what I intend to do here in this bill, if you've been arrested for vehicular homicide or vehicular battery. And it's pretty straightforward and pretty simple. And but there is a problem, we do need to know if a person is on drugs, if he kills somebody. I think it's a pretty serious matter. We just don't have the provision for do that at present time. If somebody is arrested for vehicular homicide, we should be able to check his blood to see if he's high on dope or whatever the case may be. I think it's pretty important for us to know that and so we can take further action. And I do believe that I've got some people here to testify on this case for actually where these cases happened.
Further proponents of House Bill 1126. I assume that everyone has signed the register at the podium who is testifying. Welcome.
Thank you.
Would you introduce yourselves?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, thank you. My name is Mary Spindler, my husband Jim. We are here on behalf of the people of South Dakota, common people. We are here as proponents of House Bill 1126 and to relate to you how our son's accident is an example of why such legislation is needed. We brought some diagrams to you of the accident. I'll take you back. The accident happened back in May 23rd of 1997. Our son had been working in Mitchell and was on his way home to do chores for us and as we were leaving for a wedding out of state. It was a beautiful sunny morning. Our son John had left Mitchell and he was traveling north on Highway 37. You have your maps there. It's a divided highway. And as John was passing another vehicle, the maps represent about a mile stretch of road, approximately. Okay, as John was proceeding to pass another vehicle, and he should have been perfectly safe doing this anywhere, and he was cresting a hill, he was hit head-on by an oncoming vehicle. Well, our son suffered massive head and chest injuries and was killed almost instantly. He was rushed to Queen of Peace Hospital in Mitchell, and we appreciated the exhaustive efforts that were made to try to revive him. But we were told later there was nothing that could have been done had he been on the steps of the hospital. There was blood drawn from John. Also, urine was taken to do analysis of the chemicals that may have been in his body. However innocent he was in this accident. We found out later that there was no bodily fluids taken from the driver of the other vehicle. And as you see on your little diagram, the wrongful vehicle had come from the north. This was an older gentleman, 58 years old, so I guess you would classify him as a very experienced driver. He had lived in this area within 30 miles of the accident scene all of his life. There were no weather factors that morning. He was traveling south on this highway, and he was going to make a delivery. And as you can see, he had crossed the median, had crossed the northbound lanes, and had gone and made a delivery to a farm. And this farm was approximately a mile from the scene of the accident. Okay, he returned back to the highway. And his intentions were, he wanted to go south again, but instead of going into the southbound lanes, he turned into the northbound lanes. Drove approximately 8/10 of a mile in speeds of excess of 60 miles an hour. And collided with our son. This man was not injured. Later, as you know, we had heard that charges were pending. We certainly were in no frame of mind to be following up on all that at the time, but we felt that law enforcement, this was their, you know, this they'll take care of this. It would be investigated. Well, later we find out that he was charged, he was cited, he was given a citation for going the wrong way, and he got a fine for $75. When we went to question the state's attorney, we just had things that we had to resolve before we could have some closure on this, and had found out that there had been no analysis done of any of his body fluids, despite this man's flagrant actions that day. And I said, why wasn't there blood or any bodily fluids taken? And he said, well, there was no physical evidence of alcohol. There were no open containers. His breath didn't smell. It would have gone against his rights. And my next question was, what about John's rights? And I think I can quote him as he answered me. And he said, well, this may sound cold, but your son didn't have any rights. He was dead. He had become evidence. We feel that driving is a privilege. It's not a right. And when our actions constitute such negligence, in our son's case, it cost his life. We just feel that there should be laws. We just feel that this piece of legislation will maybe help to keep somebody off the highway, maybe. In our case, the evidence is gone that may explain this man's actions and of why maybe he shouldn't be driving. Mm-hmm. But that evidence is gone. We can't move vehicles when there's an accident. Mm-hmm. Why? And I think that what makes up our bodies on that day, that's part of the evidence, too. Mm-hmm. That would explain what happened. Mm-hmm. So that's why we feel that this bill is really necessary.
Just a point of information, what was this man charged with, ultimately?
He was charged with going the wrong way.
So he was not charged with vehicle homicide or vehicle battery?
No.
So this bill, the law, if this bill were to pass, this law wouldn't apply to him?
I personally don't know why he was not charged with vehicular homicide.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. I don't understand that. We believe he should have been. Yeah.
Thank you.
Do you have any other questions?
Are there any further questions? Well, thank you very much for coming. I know it's helpful. Yes, would you like to say something?
I have one thing to add, Mr. Chairman.
Certainly.
To the committee. My name is Jim Spindler. I guess the way I look at it, like my wife said, you're not able to move vehicles. The man wasn't charged with a serious enough offense that he even had to, when he went in to renew his driver's license, he didn't even have to take the test again. I know this state, we have a lot of freedom in it, but it just seems like some of our freedoms are taken for granted, that we think we have the right to do about anything. I think people should be held accountable for what they do. This man was not. He should have been charged with something more. We have been told that. The law enforcement on scene decided not to do it for some reason. I don't know why. Hadn't been explained to us. But the flagrant actions that he did would seem that common sense would tell you, red flag here, something, you know, bright sunny day, something's wrong. All I can say is he's still out there driving. We would have liked to known why he did that. And by having this bill, it maybe will give law enforcement some discretion to charge him with a more serious offense right away so that they can obtain the evidence that should have been collected that day. You know, it just seems like common sense to me. When we found out that it hadn't been done, we were appalled. It just didn't seem right. So I guess that's all I have to add. I thank you for your time.
Well, we thank you for your testimony. Are there any questions? Any questions? If not, well, thank you very much for coming. And we know this has been difficult for you, but we certainly appreciate it. Are there any further proponents of House Bill 1126?
Mr. Chairman, Chuck Schroyer, on behalf of the State's Attorneys Association, we support this bill, quite frankly, under the facts that have been described in the incident that the people that testified here involving their son told you. I'm not sure this would have been used, frankly, because I'm not sure that at the time of the incident, unless this individual had been drinking and there was a smell of alcohol about their breath, or there was some indication that the individual was influenced by some substance in their system, that there would have been an arrest at the scene. And as you know, both vehicular homicide and vehicular battery require that the person be under the influence. But I do think that this is a good exception to the otherwise rule that a person can refuse to take the blood test. As you know, the legislature has essentially abrogated the Schmerber case, which says that you can take blood out of a person and other physical evidence without a search warrant or any other permission if there's been an arrest made. And in this case, in South Dakota, we've allowed for a manner in which that is basically abrogated by providing that people give consent to have alcohol or have tests taken of their blood, but they have a right to refuse that. And under most circumstances, that right is inviolate, and although the person loses their license as a result, and that's the penalty for refusing the test, the fact is that most people can, if they choose, opt not to have a test taken. At the same time, the legislature has adopted several exceptions to that rule. One of them is obviously a third or a fourth or fifth DWI, which is currently in the statute. I think that both vehicular homicide and vehicular battery are the types of cases that also should be exempt. So while it may not have applied under the facts that were described by the prior presenters, I do think that it's an exception that should be put into the law, and we frankly would support the bill for that purpose, even though it may not have resolved the issue that you heard about.
Senator Dugard.
Let's say that you're an arresting officer and you do arrest someone who you pull over for driving erratically, and how do you make the decision about whether or not you're going to arrest that person for DUI, for any DUI?
Generally, that's based on the observations of the officer, and often they use a preliminary test of one kind or another, or you've heard of field sobriety tests. Those are administered usually before the decision is made whether an arrest should be made or not. Obviously, if a person doesn't cooperate very much, it can be difficult to come to that conclusion, but officers are trained to look for various signs, not only the driving that probably precipitated the original stop, but also the manner in which that person acts or the actions that they reflect at the time when they're interviewed by the officer.
So if let's say that I'm driving erratically and I'm pulled over and the officer hasn't made any of those conclusions yet, but does observe my behavior, and then at some point, how does the officer know? Do they go back to their car and identify me by my license and the fact that I've been convicted of DUI twice before, and therefore this would, if that outward actions that I have or observations of the officer, if this would warrant a third arrest for DUI, this would then invoke the authority to require a bodily fluids test. How would that differ from the circumstances that might arise in a vehicular homicide situation?
Well, since all of those offenses require that a person be operating a vehicle under the influence, that decision is going to first have to be made by the officer, whether it's for vehicular homicide, vehicular battery, or just a DWI of a garden variety. The law does not require that the bodily substance be given. It just says that the officer may request it and may require it if they choose to have that done after the arrest is made. Again, it's very difficult for me to, explain exactly how the officer finally comes to that conclusion, but he has to have probable cause to make the arrest. And that's a decision that the officer makes based upon his observations of all the facts that are relevant to the incident. We certainly respect the right of people to refuse to take the test, but the legislature has made exceptions to that. They've said you can't refuse to take the test if A, B, C. One of those is the third, fourth, or fifth DUI. The officers, I believe, today and virtually everywhere in the state have the information that you're asking about or that you're suggesting they need to know before they even get out of their car, because they usually punch in the license plate and they know who the owner of the vehicle is, and they'll look at that person's record even though they don't know for sure who's operating the vehicle. Once they become aware of the name of the person, they can check that out right from their car. They can find out what that person's arrest record is. So I don't mean to imply that information is categorized by the officer as one of the reasons why they would make another arrest, because it certainly doesn't mean that because you've had one or two prior DUIs that this is another time when you're obviously driving intoxicated. They still have to have the probable cause related to that incident. But at some point in time, whether it's before or after the arrest, it's very easy for them to make the decision or find out what the record is, and then at that time they can then require that the blood test be taken. And all this does is add in those other two types of crimes for that purpose.
Any further questions, Mr. Schroyer? Any further questions? If not, thank you very much. Are there any further proponents of House Bill 1126? Any further proponents? Are there any opponents to House Bill 1126? Any opponents? If not, we'll close the testimony open to committee discussion and motion. We have a motion. Senator Hoyt.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Chairman. My apologies for missing most of this. Could you just tell me who were the other proponents of this bill?
Would Secretary read them?
Representative Dunwald and Mary and Jim Spindler.
the Spindlers recited a tragic case as an example. Is there any discussion? Is there a motion?
Mr. Chairman, you know, I was just trying to see if this gives rise to the opportunity for abuse any differently than is presented by the current statute that allows the arrested person or allows the officer to require a bodily fluid for a person arrested for a third or fourth or subsequent DUI offense, and I don't see it. I think in both cases, both in those cases suggested by the bill and by those cases under present law, you need to have two things. One, you need to have both things. You need to have some other fact, and in the case of the DUI situation, the other fact is they've been convicted twice before. You need to have that fact, and then you also have to have some other evidence that you're under the influence, or you can't be arrested for DUI because you can't arrest first, then test, and then substantiate your findings. And the same would be true in the vehicular battery and vehicular homicide. You have to have that occur first, and then you also have to observe, and again, I think the fact situation wouldn't have presented that, though it could easily have. You have to have the vehicular battery and or vehicular homicide, and when the officer approaches or goes to question the driver of the car, they have to exhibit something that gives him probable cause to believe that he's under the influence.
Well, would not driving down the wrong side of the road be sufficient evidence?
I think it would be suspicion to stop, good reason to stop, but it could be.
Would it not be a sufficient reason to take a blood sample? Driving down the wrong side of the highway.
I think that would be a defense that could be raised and probably should be raised by the defendant who claims, that's not probable cause. It's some suspicion, but it's not probable cause. I think you'd have to show something more than that. I mean, just because I go over the center line doesn't mean I'm drunk. I could be putting a cassette in my tape player, or I could have dropped something on the floor and I'm fumbling for it. You know, all kinds of reasons. Or I'm unfamiliar with this divided highway. You know, in this case, the person was from the area, but maybe I'm not from the area. I say, I'm not familiar. So I think that it's very comparable. And I think we also need to remember that something very significant has happened. Somebody has been seriously injured or killed. And what is disclosed by this will be nothing more than a fact. And in fact, it gives us more evidence of truth. What are the circumstances surrounding this situation? It is a truthful thing. So I think in our search for truth, I mean, yes, we don't want to infringe on people's rights, and yet we still have to overcome these two prior things. There has to be either a serious bodily injury or a death, and there has to be some evidence, more than just reasonable suspicion, probable cause, that there's been that the person is under the influence. So I think given those things and the fact that this brings us closer to truth, I move we do pass this bill.
Move do pass. Is there a second? Seconded by Senator Bogue. Is there further discussion? If not, we'll proceed to vote. Secretary will call the roll.
Bogue?
Aye.
DeHuick?
No.
Hangy?
Yes.
Ketzel?
Aye.
Moore?
Aye.
Dugard?
Aye.
Whiting?
Aye.
Senator Hangy? Six yeas, one nay.
House Bill 1126 goes to the Senate floor with a do pass recommendation.